Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steve, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Before we go to our topic for tonight, I just want to take some time out just to inform the listening audience that we have lost our founder, Mr. Kenneth Buck Jones. You probably hear me mention his name at the end of the shows. He's the founder of We Talk Productions, producer, father, friend, educator, coach, and of course, talk show host. He left us on 12/30/22, December 30th, 2022. Gonna miss him. It was unexpected for me, and gonna miss that brother. He really started me doing this, literally. Okay, so moving along with the show, our topic for the night is female or woman empowerment. Question is, how does nudity empower women? Seems like once we ran around in the nude without a care, then as we grew up, we learned to cover our nudity. From the healthjournal.com, as reported in the journal Molecular Biology and Evolution, January 2011, scientists have determined that human beings first began wearing clothes sometime between 83,000 and 170,000 years ago. Prior to that, they said the ancestors walked around naked, right? Another article in the same journal says that these body parts, private parts, are described as private because they are generally off limits to others. We keep them covered, right? Which part of the body is private? Children, they say children should know which parts of the body are private parts. Children should be able to use correct anatomical terms when referring to the private parts of the body. Penis, testicles for boys, vagina, vulva for girls, nipples for girls, bottom, anus, and mouth for boys and girls, right? So Webster's, Merriam-Webster's definition of empowerment: the act or action of empowering someone or something, the granting of the power, right, or authority to perform various acts or duties. The state of being empowered to do something, the power, right, or authority to do something. So, the power to do something does not make that something the best thing to do in your best or worst interest, right or wrong. It simply means that you are able to do it, and in some cases without consequences or negative outcomes. Does that make the thong or string bikini an empowering experience for a woman because her butt cheeks are totally exposed and not much of the rest of her is covered? Is it empowering when a woman's nudity is exhibited in an environment that is not exclusively for the purpose of being nude, via a fashion show, beach, public or private events, you know, where other people are fully clothed for the most part, right? Is the power simply the ability to place whatever body part you want on exhibition anywhere you want to? Is it the ability to influence others through the power of sexual energy for self-gratification, attention, economic gain, or arousal, or any combination of those, or anything else? Is female empowerment the ability of women to behave socially and sexually as badly as their male counterparts. Is it empowering to have multiple sex partners? Is all of it empowering, or any combination of these things? So some words that we're going to run into: misogynistic feelings showing or characterized by hatred or prejudice against women, prejudice or preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. So that's very important to know all that. Reason and actual experience, right? Something that's actually happening, right? And, you know, rational, right? So from Collins Dictionary, we have sexualized. To sexualize something or someone means to make them sexual or consider them in a sexual way. That seems kind of a broad term definition right there. Anyway, equal term that everybody like to use. They have conversations with people about all the time about equal, but no two people on the planet are probably equal, because we're not the same. We might have equal rights and things like that, but we are not equal. Males and females are different, and in different in ways that don't make us the same. So we can't be equal in that way, but we're going to go into this. It says the same measure, quantity, amount, or number as another, identical in mathematical value or logical denotation, right? Equivalent, right? So we know everybody's not the same. We're not equal. Like a guy who can lift a lot of weight, probably more viable on a job where there's a lot of weight to be lifted than a guy that can't do that, right? So that doesn't have nothing to do with you being male or female. That has something to do with your ability to lift. Because if a woman can do that, she should get paid the same as that guy that can lift all those things, right? From World Vision, women's empowerment, fact, stories, blah, 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 right? What is women empowerment? They say, how can you define it? Women's sense of self-worth, their ability to determine their own choices, their right to influence social change for themselves and others. It is closely aligned with female empowerment, a fundamental right that's also key to achieving a more peaceful, prosperous world, right? In Western countries, female empowerment is often associated with specific phases of a woman's rights movement in history. Now, some people would be arguing that, depending on if you're a black female or a white female, things like that, right? Okay, but we're not getting into all that. This movement tends to be split into three waves, right? The first beginning in the 19th and the early 20th century, where suffrage was a key feature. The second wave in the 1960s included sexual revolution and the role of women in society. I don't know if y'all remember that. That's like the hippies and free love and just being a little more unrestrained, which is sexual behavior. Third wave was feminism. It's often seen as being in the 1990s also, right? So anyway, despite the great deal of progress, women and girls, they say, continue to face discrimination and violence in every part of the world, right? The women's empowerment principles, and I thought these were excellent principles here. Women's empowerment principles are used to empower women in the marketplace, workplace, and community, right? The seven principles are, I don't know if people remember when they had the wars here, the women went into the factories. All right, so I know we have a tradition that the man is the head of the house, only take care of the woman and things like that, which is cool. I'm not knocking that. But that's the man doesn't have children. He doesn't carry a child for 9 months. So while a woman is, I guess she's being inconvenienced. It's a joyful inconvenience. I don't know. Never had a baby before. But while she's in that condition, He can still work because nothing's changed about him. He don't have to worry about bumping his stomach into nothing, losing a child or nothing like that, right? So anyway, principle one, create high-level corporate leadership for gender equality. Treat all people fairly at work, respecting and supporting non-discrimination and human rights. Ensure the health, well-being, and safety for all workers, whether male or female. See? Can't argue with this stuff right here. Promote education, training, and professional development for women, right? Implement supply chain marketing practices and enterprise development that empower women. Champion equality through community initiatives and advocacy. Measure and report publicly on progress to create gender equality. All right, so basically they're saying it's, what I'm getting from this is gender equality, just give females the same chance that males have in the economic matrix. That's what we're talking about right here, right? So unfortunately, we all stuck in this at web. That sounds fair. If a woman is doing the same job as a man, she should get paid the same salary as a man, or she should not get paid less simply because she is a woman. Same thing, like you shouldn't get paid less because of the color of your skin, right? You don't get paid for being on the job. You get paid for performing on the job. We should remember that we are not the same, so the term equal is limited to and by our biological differences, right? As I was just talking about, right? So men don't have periods. They don't have give birth. Issues arising from these biological differences relate specifically to the female and deserves specific attention and consideration, right? Examples would be, we would not want a pregnant woman heavy lifting, right? On the battlefield, she's pregnant, she's on the battlefield, can't have a baby while we're trying to hide from the enemy. She's about to give birth, have a miscarriage or something like that, right? So we don't want that kind of stuff, right? All right, so we're not the same. We're not in that sense. So you have to deal with us differently, right, in the same situation, right? Or in a physical struggle with an inmate or a civilian, right? I'm sure they have laws with a child. Maybe you shouldn't be working in environments which require you to fight, right? Or you may be attacked, right? That's not a safe environment for you if you're having a child. Anyway, assuming a woman plans to give birth to the child, her primary objective would be to preserve the life of the child in her womb. And doing so, she'd have to preserve her life thoroughly. So she's the child's first line of defense, right? So man don't have that problem, right? Empowerment, as defined by these seven principles, appears to provide females or women with the same opportunity or access to the economic matrix of a social, political, economic system as men or males in the United States. That would mean women will be drafted during wartime just as men are drafted during wartime. Is that equality equate to that? Is that empowerment for women to be subjected to the a draft if that was to come about? That's a question that, you know. Socially, could it dissolve all those perks women are afforded? You know, like people opening the doors for them, giving up their seats for them, paying meals for them, just, you know, feeling that, you know, the man's supposed to do that. Are we talking about resolving all these, you know, but it's talking about being equal now, right? I'm saying, if that means that, if that is feel empowered like that, you might argue you don't have to be new to achieve these goals. In fact, powerful ones, and particularly the males in industrialized societies appear to be fully clothed, right? The male's chest is not exposed, as evidenced by the suit and ties worn by the male members of the Senate, House of Representatives, city councils, school districts, so forth, right? They are powerful, and their nudity is covered, which makes brings to the question, what power are women or a woman looking for, searching for, by being nude, right? From the Constellation Coalition, right? There are common challenges that stand in the way of a woman's empowerment on every part of the earth that humans exist. Things like, they say patriarchy, right? It's ruled by men, right? So the pay gap, bias in medicine, misogyny. So we talked about that, hating, you know, I don't understand that, hating women. But some guys out here do hate women. Sexism, and the list goes on, right? The Gates Foundation recently released their 2022 Goalkeepers Report. Number one, empowerment happens when women have direct access to financial tools and systems, right? That's anybody. That you can be empowered in a system that has these resources, right? So it said, in low and middle income countries, large numbers of women do not have their own bank accounts. During the pandemic, governments were sending payments directly to their citizens as a form of relief. Many women were overlooked for government assistance because they had no way to receive it. That's sad, because that's right here in the United States. Access to digital banking tools can put funds direct into the hands of women. But there are some men that don't have bank accounts also. Okay? Statistics show that women-led households use their funds in greater measure to benefit their children and the entire community than man-led households. That's interesting right there. When women rise, they take others with them. But putting funds directly into the hands of women, we are practically lifting entire communities out of poverty. They say the women, in this article, they're saying the women are better for the community, right? But I just want to go back to, I don't know where that came from, but I just want to remind you guys about Rosewood and Black Wall Street, where men were at a time where men were, you know, that patriarchy they're talking about was in existence, and they built a whole community that was more prosperous in the 1920s than the white community adjacent to them. So I think it has more to do with you know, how you do things as a group of people than the fact that who's supposed to be at the head of the house, things like that. But I'm reading this article right here, so don't shoot me. Imagine everyone is, let's say, if every stay-at-home mother, homemaker, or woman caring for an ailing relative were paid fair market value for their services she's already provided. How drastically would her life, her family lives, and the lives of those in her community change? Well, they would change a lot, because that would be a lot of people staying home making money, and it might influence more people to stay home and make money. So I didn't quite get that part right there. Even though it takes money to raise a child in an industrialized country, because you know, we just can't go in the yard and live like some people can, you know, raise cows and whatever they need to live and, you know, eat that way and trade and things like that. Anyway, fact is, a woman and a man can get paid caring for an ailing relative. I personally know two women who have worked in this capacity as home health aides. Not the answer to all, but that's kind of like on the vibe of getting paid. Men have also been responsible for the care of ailing relatives, and some are home health aides, unpaid and paid, right? So maybe more women home health aides. I know for all I see is a bunch of women. As far as your own children, you don't get paid to care for your own children, male or female. I had my kid, and nobody paid me. I had to go work to take care of them. So I don't know how that's going to work. Imagine if everyone, male and female, were paid fair market value for their services. That would be like getting paid to have children and raise them. It poses an interesting question, and it does take money to raise a child or future contributor to society. What would be the purpose of going to work if you could stay home and have children? For some people like that, that might be, and they might rest there. It's the point that I'm making here. And we see that happen on welfare with TANF, with the housing subsidies, which offers financial assistance to families, right? For whatever reason, some people never get out of that that circle right there, right? It's hardly payment for caring for a child, but it beats a blank. We have TANF and housing subsidies, so it's not payment for caring for your child, but assistance, right? Which is kind of like relative, right? Anyway, article went on to say, number three, empowerment happens when women are in positions of decision-making power and agency, which we see that, right? Who's that, Nancy Pelosi? She was the head of the Speaker of the House. Got a lot of women in high places. Vice President. You know, this means making decisions at all levels, from living rooms to boardrooms to government offices and all that. It's a lot of, I can imagine with that, it's a lot of, or however they do their thing going on with that, that you have to wade through a lot of the, you know what, to get to some positions there, be you a male or a female. Anyway. True equality depends not only on a woman's ability to access a livelihood, but also the ability to control it fully. It means not just putting food on the kitchen table, but also being able to make decisions for her family around that table. That means not just benefiting from government policy, but designing those policies. It means not just empowerment, but real lived power, right? There are women in branches of government, corporations, supervisors, owners of businesses and stuff like that, right? So women have made some strides in this country, right, which is United States, right? They at the Constellation Coalition, we are all about empowering women. They said the main way to do this is through entrepreneurial development, giving women knowledge and access to opportunities that they can then use to make their lives whatever they want. They want to see women everywhere in power of their lives, their families, their communities, their cultures, which is a good stuff, right? When we empower women, we change the world, right? And I think that that woman makes a good partner. You know, somebody you can get married to, somebody who's going to be a helpmate to you. That's the person that can help you. But she's coming to the table with knowledge and energy to work, right? And which is good. It says entrepreneurial development is one way of empowering both male and female with their clothes on. And yet, just a little statistic on entrepreneurship. They say, from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 20% of new businesses fell during the first 2 years of being open, 45% during the first 5 years, 65% during the first 10 years. Only 25% of new businesses make it to 15 years or more. That's with fully closed with people starting businesses. So how does nudity empower? That was, which is the question, right? So it was an article, had a picture of a very curvy woman, nude from the waist down, had a like a bra or something on, I don't know what it is, sitting on the steps with a coat on. She's got her legs crossed, but she's basically naked from the waist down. That's why nudity can be empowered, right? Very attractive woman, right? So, and reading the article, it said they're referring to the fact that whether or not, they're referring to the fact that whether or not a woman should be clothed and in what situations is it appropriate is actually a controversial and passionate conversation in our society. And I noticed, I just read something about women empowering men. They didn't even mention being naked. But fast forward to the show, an article here is saying empowerment comes through nudity, which to me is very confusing, probably because I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen. You know, I'm going to take that hit right there. Maybe, you know, maybe not the sharpest knife. But some people say that nudity is empowering and that women should be allowed to wear what they want when they want. I've heard an argument that nudity is actually oppressive toward women, not because of the whole whore thing that I discussed, that they discussed earlier in the something, I don't know. But because we live in a basically a patriarchal society, right? And they've been oppressed by men, right? This argument states that women should not dress provocatively and they should not present themselves in a sexual manner publicly because that is what society expects of us. Society is expected for them not to dress provocatively, right? Society sees us as sex objects and thus we are fulfilling that role for them when we turn ourselves into sexual objects because that is what we are expected to be. Somebody help me with this right here because society sees women as sex objects. That's all they see women as, sex objects. Okay, what happened to those other titles like, mother, you know, aunt, you know, teacher, officer, you know, what happened to those other titles? Wife, friend, girlfriend. Your girlfriend is not just a sex object to you. She is the object of your sexual, they are both objects of each other's sexual attraction, right? Anyway, I'm going to keep moving. They talked about how nudity can be objectifying, but it can also be extremely liberating, all right? It all depends on the context, they said. The third argument is taking a very specific situation and using it to disregard nudity and open sexuality altogether. Open sexuality. What's that mean as opposed to closed sexuality? Right? So I guess open sexuality might be multiple partners or something like that. I don't know. Knowing that somebody's, you know, is you're not exclusive, so you're making that known. So I don't know what that is. You're open about your sexuality. I guess that's revealing your body count. I don't know what that is. Anyway, this argument focuses on women like Kim Kardashian, right, and Britney Spears, women who are traditionally beautiful and who frequently pose provocatively, but they do so for a male gaze. Okay, it's all about the man's pleasure and never the woman's. Well, I'm going to keep reading. She can be sexy, but she must also be pure, faithful, and solid. And yes, this is an objectifying and oppressive situation, but it is just one side of the story. Woo! Now, first, I'm skeptical because the conversation only refers to a woman being naked. It is as if someone is trying to target and persuade women to take their clothes off in public. Let's be real. Men and women can purchase pornography with male or female porno stars on exhibition, right? Actually, it is all about whoever gets pleasure from viewing the pornography, male or female, right? It also happens to be a form of income for porno stars and performers, right? Anyone who thinks being faithful is oppressive and is delusional. That's a choice. Nobody can make you be faithful. It's an inner choice that you make. It has nothing. A man can't make you be faithful. A woman can't make you be faithful. So, and faithful is not a trait that is specific to women. It's a trait that can a man can adopt also, right? So a man can be faithful to his woman. A woman can be faithful to her man. But that's something she decides to do. And if that's oppressive to you, you need to get your head checked. Because if you don't want to be faithful, you shouldn't be in a relationship where that's the expectation. So that's how simple that is. I guess that's where that open sexuality comes in, right? It's one of the pillars of a relationship, union, organization, or nation, right? Faithfulness. If I'm in a, you are a part of my organization, I'm expecting you to be champion our organization, right? Or else you a threat to my organization, right? You're a threat to my country. If you're not faithful to the United States government, then you're a threat to the government. If the government is, been faithful to you. Right? There are many people who don't want a significant other with a large body count, though it appears to be more acceptable for a man to accumulate multiple sex partners. Virginity and a low body count is still a thing for some and not such a thing for others, right? You know, y'all know that part, that man, he's a player, he's a lover. A ladies man, a woman, she's a whore. I don't know the other words, but you know, whore. Just, you know the words, right? So if I got a whole lot of other words for it now, I'm going to waste my time with trying to figure out what they are. If a woman dresses provocatively, she is overtly or openly, publicly, sexually arousing people in public. The problem occurs because sexual arousal is traditionally reserved for married or intimate partners in very private places. Public sexual arousal is traditionally reserved for sex merchants or prostitutes or morally loose individuals. Fast forward to the present, this is no longer the case. Sexual arousal, provocative behavior, and dress are commonplace in some communities and in the media, and the gaze belongs openly to the beholder, male or female. Once upon a time, women were held to a moral standard more than men. That is probably how a good moral, ethical, no body count, modest, beautiful woman became a symbol of how well a man was doing, his prosperity, because they had these standards. And as we know, men have been raping women for centuries, right? You can see it in biblical times and things like that, right? And these wars and all that kind of nonsense, slavery here. So I guess they married a woman who held down the moral, ethical compass, and that was viewed as his good fortune, I guess. I kind of get that, but not really, because you can't live off of somebody else's, you know, good fortune. That's her personality. It's not yours. You're still a monster. Society does not expect women to dress provocatively. It seems more like society accepts women dressing provocatively today. Women choose to dress provocatively for whatever reason, media, influence, attention, peer pressure, money, self-pleasure, whatever. Some women say, I'm not winning for anybody. I'm winning for me. I like it, right? I hear women dress for these other women or something. I heard something like that one time. The truth is, we expect people to do many things that they never or hardly ever do. And sometimes they do things we don't expect them to do. Anyway, article went on to say, because as much as there are women who pose provocatively, specifically for the male gaze, there are also women who can be openly sexually and be doing it for themselves, openly sexually doing it. She's stimulating her sexually, stimulating herself openly. What's going on with that? Anyway, I'm kind of lost with that kind of phrase, but they keep creating all these phrases to explain behavior. And just look at what behavior is doing, and, you know, come up with all these terms, confusing me. Anyway, they talk about Pink, for example, who was vocally taking issue with the way Kim Kardashian uses her sexuality, as frequently sung songs about sex, posed provocatively for photographs, and appeared scantily clad in her music video, and has in fact been either publicly nude or close to it. So, like I was saying, this is very suspicious, this whole thing about trying to get the female nude, because this whole thing is about woman taking off her clothes and being empowered. And I just read something that was from, I think, the first seven principles, and they didn't come from here. Anyway, it's a contradiction and naive to suppose that a woman can be openly sexually and be doing it for themselves. You may say you're doing it for yourself, but you are doing it in the open. When you do that, you have opened a door for other people to experience and engage in your sexual exhibition or energy. Intent does not supersede reality. You wouldn't make your personal bank account open to the public, would you? If you don't want other people to experience your sexuality, do it behind closed doors in a private place, right? A grove where nobody can see you, somewhere, I don't know. But you, if it's for you, then you need to be somewhere just you doing it, or else people are going to start to interact with you. They're going to form opinions about you, good, bad. You're not going to like it. They're going to like the way your body looks. They're going to say whatever they want about you. So because you made that yourself available for that. Right? And that's a fact. That's the way people are. Some people are. Anyway, still we can acknowledge the power of sexual energy as evidenced by how a woman may feel empowered by her open sexual exhibition, and how people are influenced, aroused, or disturbed by that woman's open sexual exhibition. As for Kim Kardashian using her body or sexuality to earn money, and in Kim Kardashian's case, generate individual wealth, I bet that they are quite aware of what they are doing. And economically, it has served her very well. Sex sells, and it is not a coincidence. It is a treasured natural resource. Unless Pink is coming out on stage in a monk's robe and she is not exactly openly placing her sexuality on exhibition, right? So unless she's coming out like the Pope, she's not exactly not openly being openly sexual with her sexuality either. I've seen some of the stuff she wears. She's just not as naked as Kim. Kim gets all the way down, right? Form-fitting tights and low-cut cleavage shirts and revealing dresses represent stages of open sexuality. Both Kim and Pink are empowered by their sexuality, youth, and beauty. So, I mean, that's a sense of power right there, empowerment and power, because they both have money. And Pink has the skill. She sings. I think she acts a little bit. I'm not sure. But, you know, you got to be a bit of an actor when you're on stage anyway. Anyway, so they both have, but their sexuality has helped them earn money. Because they both are attractive women. Right? The article goes on to the difference between these two celebrities is that one never gets the feeling that Pink is not out of control. I don't know where you get that idea from. Of her own sexuality or her own body. She is not dressed in that way because some male advisor told her that it would be the best move for her career. Here we go again. See, with which is making me apprehensive about at least this writer's concept about female empowerment and nudity. She is dressed the way because she wants to be dressed that way, or so her public image would suggest. I don't know what a public image is suggesting, because I'm not in Pink's head. Anyway, no longer is the woman in question a sexual object there to be looked upon by a man. I don't get that, because you're a sex object, whether you're in a hijab or a thong. You're still a sexual object because you are female to a male, to a male. So you never could take sex out of the equation. Because that's just people just, I don't understand that. Keep it real. The male is sexually attracted to the female. Know that. The female is sexually attracted to the male. So there is more to us as human beings than our sexuality, but that is what is bringing us to each other. Then we're going to meet each other. We're going to figure out what things we like about each other, and then we make a decision that what we want to stay or be, right? All of a sudden, she becomes an actual person, someone with a body and a sexuality all of her own that she commands. She is in complete control. So that's completing the article right there. Let's say one more, that nudity and sexuality are not always the same thing. We always assume that if a person is scantily clad or naked, they must mean that they are inherently doing so for someone's attention, right? So if a woman comes down the street, just say she got on a string bikini, that's a piece covering her vagina. That's a little piece too. String up the butt and just something covering most of her nipples with the front part of her breast. She's not doing it for any attention. Somebody explain me how you can do that and not think that you're gonna get attention. Anyway. In some circles, Pink would not be considered as in control of her sexuality. We don't know who encouraged Pink to wear the outfit she wears. What difference does it make if a man or a woman suggests that the artist wears something that openly exploits her sexuality? She could simply say no. Kim could have said no. And a thousand other people could say no to these things, right? Is it empowering if a woman suggests wearing something that openly exploits her sexuality? I wonder if the author has some issues with men. I explained that scantily clad or naked thing. It doesn't matter if you are sunbathing, stripping in a club, in a photo, in a bathroom, in a shower, or on the street. You will get the attention of those who lay eyes on your scantily clad body or nakedness. There may be any reaction from arousal to disgust. Both Kim and Pink have control of what they choose to do. Kim just chooses to do more than Pink. So I'm not knocking Kim Kardashian. A lot of people knock her for doing that pose. I don't think she should have done that, made the sex tape and all that stuff. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that I'm not, I can see where she feels empowered by doing the things that she does with her body. And why does she continue to do so? Because she continues to earn money doing that. I think she's almost like a billionaire. Not that that's the only way she makes money either. Because I don't think people might think she's not that bright, but she's taking that money and must be doing something else with it. Because she's selling $1 billion worth of nakedness. Is it that easy? Are Americans and people all over the world that thirsty for a woman's body? Is a woman's body that powerful? Because it seems that way. Well, there are a lot of people, they said, in our society who routinely are told by society that their bodies are ugly. This is another thing they talk about, empowering people. Because I know this is the now models come out. They have real big girls and thin girls, and it's different, you know, looks and things like that. Cause I remember at first it used to be like, she had to be almost a certain look, right? And I'm not saying all of them would look like attractive or nothing, but they had a certain body type or something like that. But anybody going to judge everybody's body? Because what I might find attractive, another man might not find attractive, you know. I mean, brother, we was talking about women, American women from Africa, and the women I thought were attractive, they were too small for him. So we probably could hang out all the time, you know. But we never did that, but I'm just saying. What he liked, I wasn't interested in. What I was interested in, he wasn't interested in. So beauty's in the eyes of the beholder. It truly is. And you just need to stop worrying about everybody liking you. It's not going to happen. I say, in fact, I venture to guess that the vast majority of people are told that their bodies are ugly. This message is given to overweight people, scarred people, people with stretch marks, disabled people, transgender people, people with extra skin, people who are older or wrinkled, and the list goes on, right? and to return to the issue of women and their bodies, women are told even more frequently than men that their bodies are raw, disgusting, simultaneously sexual objects, right? Women have been reprimanded for breastfeeding in public. The act involves uncovering the breast, and people do not want to see that, right? They must segregate themselves, go somewhere in a dirty bath when they say, or wherever, feed the baby, or, yeah. Stuff like that, we don't have any privacy, a busy bathroom, so I don't know what they're talking about. In public, it's busy outside there, too, so I don't know. I get that, though. You want to feed your baby. I've seen women feed their kids outside. They have a certain kind of clothing where they can feed a baby. Anyway, women are told that they must maintain their bodies in ways that men find sexually appealing. That's helpful. I hate to say it. I've listened to Kevin Samuels talk about these guys, these one percenters, six-figure men. They're not looking for short, overweight, fat, they're looking for, what do you call them, trophy pieces. Women was on this show talking about, you know, they were 10 and they got two kids, three kids, wanted a high-value man, and he was breaking it down like high-value man not looking for you. He's looking for a trophy piece. In return, she's basically shooting down other brothers that's not making six figures. That's something right there. That sounds like a show in itself. Anyway, I said one good example of this sort of nudity is that we've seen in the media recently would be Amber Rose's bottomless photograph that she added to Instagram, proudly showing off her pubic hair, something that a woman are often told they should shave if they want to be considered sexy. Of course, I know absolutely nothing about that, right? Society's expectation that she be completely hairless. This was really made me feel stupid. So I said, oh, what? I must live in a cage. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. That is actually true. The media may establish a standard of beauty in film, magazines, video, but you are the captain of your sexual desires. You are the captain of your body, right? Pubic hair is the last thing a man is thinking about when it comes to making a decision about a sexual engagement. And I thought pubic hair was normal. That's why you can't use me as a measuring stick. So while nudity can be empowering in the scenario where it is used to foreground the woman's control over her own sexuality, they say, it can be empowering when it's used to deny the belief that something about a woman's body is disgusting or not right. So they say they're going to show those things that people feel are disgusting to prove that they're wrong. That doesn't make sense. That's not even logical. So we as a society tend to ignore female sexuality to focus almost entirely on the man and his pleasure. Really? And so it's important to see women who are willing to say, yes, I am a woman, and yes, I have my own desires. Women need to know that it is okay for them to explore their own sexuality. And furthermore, women need to know that their bodies are okay the way that they are. Okay. Listen, you need to accept your body the way it is. I have some things messed up on me. I can accept it, but I don't like it. You know what I'm saying? I've got some slight deformity. But I don't like it, but I accept it. I don't look at it as, oh, it's beautiful or anything like that, because I know it's not normal. It's not even normal for me. Things happen to me, right? So women, fat, skinny, straight up and down, shapely, young, old, tight skin, loose skin, short, tall, rich or poor, need to know that their bodies are not attractive to everyone. Stop. Stop pumping people up like that. Unfortunately, there are some things that people will find unattractive. That does not mean that you will be considered unattractive to everyone. That is life. Get over it. Everything is not going to, everyone is not going to find everyone beautiful or attractive. And you got to understand that some things are unattractive to people. You got to understand that some people can't stomach some things. You know what I'm saying? So you got to, that is something to be concerned about. And if you're not a biological woman, you got a whole new set of problems, because now you got the whole thing about deceiving, not being open. You're talking about being openly sexually, not being open about your life, who you are. And now you got to deal with all of that. And then you run into the wrong person that can shorten a lot of things for you, that can make your day go bad. And we've seen that. We've heard stories about how that has happened to people. That's making two people's day going bad. So if you're going to be open sexually, be open about who you are sexually before you get into these things with these people, especially. That's my suggestion to anybody who's not a biological woman. You should let a person know who they're talking to way before you even thinking about kissing. When a man is looking in your face thinking you a biological woman, don't talk to them if you know, just go where people know or where you feel comfortable letting people know who you are, just to, you don't have to deal with that. Be open with who you are. And that's what you should be doing. Other than that, it's a masquerade. Anyway, that's not safe. So there's no way you can prove that something someone feels is disgusting isn't disgusting, right? Taking your clothes off only proves how desperate you are to be perceived as beautiful, just like the many video vixens, media stars, porno stars, or whoever's taking their clothes off looking good, right? Don't get beauty confused with being sexually desirable or entertaining. It would help if women love themselves for who they are, right? You're going to be with yourself for a very long time. So, you know, you need to love you. You don't need to worry about if the guy thinks across the street thinks you're beautiful, the guys with the nice cars think you're beautiful. You don't need to worry about that because you are not beautiful to everybody. You're not attractive to everybody. You're not sexually desirable to everybody. And trust me, that goes for everybody. Everybody not find everybody sexually desirable. So it's some people who get a lot of that, though, right? You shouldn't be concerned with that. Love yourself. Don't try to force people to love you by putting yourself or your flaws, what you view as your flaws or imperfections, on exhibition. You don't have to do that. You got your clothes off. You want to take your clothes off somewhere, that's whatever reason you have for that, just be mindful of the weather of where you are. Because, you know, you go to certain countries to do that, you can end up dead. Prison for a long time. So you have to be mindful of the culture, right? Because some people take that very, very seriously. In the United States, you probably can get a smack on the wrist. Some of that stuff, but some other places on the planet, it could cost you your life. So you can't force people to see things your way, and know that. Keep it real. Anyway, the article went on to say, yes, there are situations where nudity can be used to be more oppressive than liberating. There are more ways to empower women than nudity, and in some cases, some women would prefer modesty. What the hell is that? Modesty. Because isn't that almost like saying, you know, patriarchal society imposing modesty upon the woman to cover her body and suppress her nudity, her power? Anyway, these women are perfectly violent, but so are the women who are empowered by nudity or skimpy clothing. So we as a society cannot ignore their experiences. We cannot assume that every time that a woman dresses herself, she is doing so for approval or disapproval of men. Does it matter? If you're out in public, you're going to get raided. That's a crazy dress. I can see straight through her dress. She had no drawers on. She had no bra on. I can see her nipples. I can see everything. People are they have a right to speak about anything they see, if you ask me. If you're showing it, they can talk about it. You don't have a problem showing it, they shouldn't have a problem. Issue shouldn't be an issue if they talk about it. So if you don't want nobody to talk about something, don't show it. You feel insecure about something, don't show it. Because I'm telling you now, you see them beauty pageants and all these little pageants with these women with these bodies, and these women that lift weights, and they all getting judged. They know they getting judged. Only one of them gonna win. It may have one, two, and three. I don't know. Maybe three. I don't know. But all of them ain't going to win. That don't mean the ones that didn't win don't look good. Some people don't like it. The women that lift their body weight, some people don't find that attractive. We cannot assume that every time a man dresses himself, he is doing so for the approval or disapproval of women. Everyone, male or female, in the urban industrialized world that holds positions of power are for the most part fully dressed as opposed to scantily dressed. Even Kim Kardashian, who has made a living being openly sexually with clothes. If you want to pose in the nude for your own psychological edification, that is your and their prerogative, right? That doesn't mean that you or someone else doesn't have an issue with your body type. If you crave sexual attention and are willing to do so, whatever it takes to achieve that goal, pose nude, I'd say you are on the right track. Remember, it won't grant you any powers except the power to expose your nudity and the money you earn from doing so. Maybe you get a lot of views on the internet or something. You know what I'm saying? That's where you're doing it. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm not trying to go there with it. I don't recommend it, but if that's what you got to do, that's that you get power from that way through earning money, generating income, large numbers of income, well, enough income to get by, pay your college, and I don't know what you're doing with the money. I don't know. Whatever, right? I thought that was sexual exploitation, and that sexual exploitation was considered abusive, exploitative. If you agree with it, self-exploitative, and I guess it's not if you want to exploit your own sexuality. You know, I guess it's not exploitation. I don't know. Self-exploitation, or what difference does it make? Remember, everybody traditionally wears clothing. Some remove their clothing for others to see, and others don't, right? You got places here in the United States, you can go see completely naked women, right? I don't thank God they're there because they hate women, right? They don't have these places for men who hate women, right? Empower women to take their clothes off and take nude pictures. I think that's a serious pimp move. Anyway, that was written by somebody named Saria. Of course, I had a lot of commentary mixed in there with it, but she believes it's nudity, self-empowering women by through nudity, which I thought was interesting. And he said, unless it's you just something going on in your head about that, you should do that in a place where nudity is permitted. And then you can experience that type of freedom, empowerment, and stuff like that. But she's a fantasy writer and a media fanatic who sometimes thinks a little too much about lights. So that's what somebody wrote this about her. But she's a brave soul to even write that article. I'm not in agreement with everything she's saying, but I'm hearing her. I'm listening, right? So if the breasts are not part of a woman's sexual arsenal, and maybe I shouldn't say arsenal, if a man touches a woman's breast, it should not be considered sexual assault, right? And I just told you that was the private part by definition, right? Women should not have to cover their breasts at all in public, pools, beaches, or in their homes, right? That shouldn't be a social issue if a breast is not a part of a woman's sexuality, right? So then they go into the 6 reasons female nudity can be powerful, right? Women too often are made to embody male power, honor, and shame. And I'm like, what you talking about, Willis? Like, she embodied me. We talked about that briefly. Because I'm not living right. I need my woman to be right. So the bad guy marries a good girl, right? Because she represents, that's how he gets his home. So his woman's good, but he out here doing all this nonsense, right? So there's what that embodies. That's the honor, because he got a good household, because he got a good woman, right? Any shame to her, because she ain't got no body count. She ain't got no nothing to be ashamed of except for him, right? So, it helps she hold up the house when he ain't there, when he out doing foolishness, right? Anyway, female nudity, public nudity is usually treated as a moral offense. So is male nudity, right? A cause for concern and discussion, right? See, some of these things is just not specific to female. I guess that's why I can't really get down with some of the things she's saying. It's not specific to female. Anyway, female nudity is not just about sexualization. It's about maintaining social hierarchy. Also, when the male can't be nude, and neither can the female. All right. Only difference is women have breasts, men have what we call chest muscles. And we both have nipples, but for some reason, a man with no shirt on, you cool, you at work, you playing basketball. A woman doing that is, she got to cover that up with the quick crackness, or she's about to get arrested for something or cited for indecent exposure, right? That's the way it is. Don't rock the boat, all right? You got minds out there, things that is triggering people inside when they see a woman's breast. All right, so that's why they're able to sell these books. You see the woman with no breasts, with no nothing covering her breasts, right? Bam, gonna sell, right? All right, so that's even why they got the men with the muscle guys. They got them with the chest out. I'm assuming the women like that, and they like the guys that's cut up. Some women, and I guess that must sell something. They keep putting them on the front of magazines. So, anyway. The cultural regulation for female nudity and portrayals of sexuality is also a powerful way in which women's bodies are used to pit us against one another. It is so, and to reinforce hierarchies among men. So I guess the hierarchy comes in when I got the showpiece, and anybody else can get these chicks. There are less that look less than what I have. I'm going to get the best out of the cream of the crop. So as I said, I don't know what showpiece, everybody's showpiece look like, but depending on what country you go to, you don't have a showpiece. Hate to say it. Depending on where you go, your girl's not a showpiece. She may be beautiful, but she may not be somebody's first pick. So, and like I said, there's beauty in all things, Robinson taught the butterfly sometimes will pass the flower and draw from the weed. So that's one of them Shaolin monk things, or them sayings, like there's beauty in all things. Who you see in the world through whose eyes, whose definition of beautiful and things like that. And I'm not even talking about establishment. I'm talking about people, because I know guys that like bigger women. They're not from Africa. They're from here. So, and none of us are going to stay youthful. Everybody can get old. If you're lucky, get old and die. Right? So all of that stuff you liked, that hot girl, let's look at some of those Miss American women from 50 years ago. All right, this is, keep it real. I seem like some of this stuff is just immaturity in terms of what you like and what you don't like. What if your woman had to get a surgery or something like that? That's still your woman. That's, what I'm saying? Anyway, they say dark bodies, especially women, black women. Excuse me. Black women have always been available for public consumption, it said. Yeah, as a slave. There was public consumption because they were property here. And they were not protected under the Constitution or the law in this country. And people all had their way with them. Right? So, yes, they were available for public consumption. Sell, rape, breeding, medical experimentation, and more. And the staying power of a racist, sexist, mythologies about white women and black men, rape and sex are evident every day. So, female public nakedness as protest of social commentary is not new and is critical, expressive, and censored speech. I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. Listen, the only thing I have to say about that nakedness being used as social commentary and stuff like that, so what? What is your point about that? They say that violence has been used as social commentary. All right? Because it's been used, doesn't mean you have to navigate through or make your own assessment about the use of something. It's not just women have the right not to be sex objects, but also have the right to dismantle a discriminatory canon. Like I said, women and men are objects of each other's sexual desire. It's just not all that they are. That's what I say about that. Self-defined public female nudity is a challenge to capitalism, and its uses of women as products, props, assets, and distributable resources. Damn right. You got that down there. Right there. I don't know about self-defined public female unity is a challenge because you can, as a woman, decide to do exactly this, as Kim Kardashian and Pink does a little bit. A lot of the, who was Beyonce, you know, all them women, I'll say Mary J. Blige, I've seen her in some stuff. You know, they use this sexuality to hype up their act, right? Women who use public nudity for social commentary, art, and protest are myth-busting along many dimensions. They say active, not passive, strong, not vulnerable, together, not isolated, public, not private, and usually angry, not alluring. The morality offense is misogyny, not nudity. Well, I still haven't got to the see where misogyny has anything to do with some of the things that they're talking about. You expose your body, they'll hate you. What happens is they don't want people to learn the behavior, right? So that's why they try to, you know, people doing bad things, you try to curtail it. Because, or you move out of that community into a community where you don't have that. You don't see that. Your child can grow up not looking at people resolving their issues by stabbing and shooting each other, knocking each other in the head, things like that, getting high and stuff like that. So that's where you try to move away from those type of things, even though it's very hard to do that. So newsflash, everyone and everything is a resource in capitalism. They don't know that public nudity for men is perceived as morally offensive. They don't, like, why they keep saying it's female, only a female? Like, come on now. That's not even, you got to keep it real. I mean, if you're going to have an argument, keep it real. You know what I'm saying? City statutes and public ordinances marry mainstream norms that clearly privilege heterosexuality, conflate women's bodies with indecency and sex, a bad thing, and insist that those bodies and sex be held in reserve. Well, if sex is a bad thing, it takes two people to have sex. I don't know, that's confusing. I kind of regret even wasting my time reading some of that. But provocative thought. Once someone has too much time on their hands and appears to have an adversity to men, that's what I got from reading that article right there. Last time I looked, men fought all the wars in this country. Women were not drafted for war due to statutes and public ordinances, mainstream norms that clearly privileged females, right? Vietnam, what wasn't a female concerned about her draft number, right? You know, we have women going to war, volunteering in the military, going to war now, right? The puritanical obsession means practicing or affecting strict religious or moral behavior. If men are driven by practicing or affecting strict religious or moral behavior, there would be no pornography nor sexy outfits. Are you kidding? If men was driven by that, I doubt seriously that most men look upon porn because they hate women. Porn has everything to do with a woman or man's body and an initial degree of autonomy, a person's ability to act on his or her own values or interests for or against them, unless a crime they're being forced to behave sexually is being committed during the filming. I am not saying that pornography is okay. I'm just saying that you volunteering to do that, that's your power right there. And your way of earning money through committing a sex act, right? Somebody in there may force you to do that. That's wrong. Unfortunately, crimes happen too often to both male and female porn stars. Well, I'm not saying the stars, but performers, I guess I should say that. Anyway, I don't know who it happens to. I know it happens. May happen to stars, may happen to performers. Okay? The people in the porn industry are cruel pimps, right? Or can be. It would behoove women to avoid the industry altogether or start their own business, though I don't recommend it. In this case, a woman's nudity is a powerful resource. So I'm going to say that the porn business is extremely profitable, right? So we're running out of time, right? And they're saying... another person said modesty is the best way to go, right? And that modesty empowers women. And covering your clothes covering your body does not mean that you're ashamed of your body. It means that you respect it. You demand respect, demand dignity, right? Feminism continues to promise that women are stripping down, that stripping down will somehow empower women. Feminism promises us that sexual liberation will somehow bring about the respect that we deserve. So I haven't seen that sign of that myself. We're going to get ready to close the show tonight. In closing, if you want people to take you seriously, dress modestly. If you want sexual attention, come to the board meeting topless. If you live in the industrial world, all power figures are fully clothed, from the president to the police. Soldiers are fully dressed. Preachers, priests, bishops, cardinals, and the Pope are fully dressed. Doctors, lawyers, teachers, for the most part, no one is coming to work nude or with their chest or breasts fully exposed. Come on, y'all. So, self-esteem is what prevents a woman from exposing her nudity in public. It is now negative to have self-esteem, and is self-esteem measured by a woman's desire, willingness to be nude in public? That is an excellent way to persuade some women to take their clothes off. As I said before, that's a hell of a pimp move. you know, because it seems like some of these writers are just saying, get rid of these standards of covering the body, which also men are subjected to the same standard. Just the only difference I see is about the thing about the chest. The man with his chest out, and you know, he can work, play basketball, but a woman can't do that. So, you know, what do you think? Is it nudity empowering to women? My friend told me it's individual, your mental gratification, your self-power. That's what nudity does. Because as I said, all the power figures with their trousers up, right, and their skirts are of a visible length, and then they don't have their breasts showing. They're not walking around in thongs. They're not taking pictures of performance sex acts with people, things like that. So I don't know about nudity being an empowering in the sense of the I see power. You know, it may make you feel empowered that you can do so and not be held accountable for walking around with your tits and ass out. Hey, that's something you need to do for yourself. More power to you. Find some way to do that at, right? Also, and in closing, I just want to say again, I want to thank Blog Talk Radio, We Talk Productions, Mr. Kenneth Jones, who, as I said, previously left us unexpectedly on 12/30/22, December 30th, 2022. Gonna miss you, Buck. I'm gonna continue to thank all my readers, listeners, downloaders, and supporters. It's been a hell of a month. Loss of soul of the show, and till next week, each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace out, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell,
Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or the Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.